This is the Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.
Welcome. The Doug Haldeman Show is dedicated to being your resource for all your real estate, finance, and credit needs. I'm your host, Doug Haldeman. For the last two decades, my passion has been helping clients develop debt strategies that have led to wealth creation and smarter spending. I'm an experienced real estate investor and a licensed mortgage lender, NMLS number 298-419.
When you need a trusted resource for your mortgage or real estate need, or if you have a comment or question, just text or call Doug personally at 314-472-DOUG. Again, that's 314-472-DOUG. That's D-O-U-G, which is 3684. Or you can visit our website at DougHaldeman.com. That's DougHaldeman.com.
You'll hear this trusted advice every Sunday at 4 p.m. right here on FM News Talk 97.1. Thanks for joining us. So joined by my trusted co-host, my beautiful wife, Tammy Haldeman. Welcome, Tammy.
Thanks for having me.
You are always welcome. Well, it's great to have
Thanks,
you.
Babe.
So, Tam, we were talking about, because you've heard me come up with some scenarios on why purchases fall through.
Right. And we get to hear about those.
Yes. So we've outlined what are the top reasons that home sales do fall through and how you can prevent them.
Right. There's nothing more disappointing than when you have your heart set on the house and it falls through.
Or you're trying to sell your house and your buyer falls through.
Right. Yep. Definitely. So one of the things, there's, I think we've narrowed it down to six.
Yes.
Different things here. So number one is avoid buyer financing woes. So, Doug, we've talked about this several times on the air, but right. Let's just go over it one more time.
All right. So, of course, as a mortgage lender,
right,
I'm a little bit jaded on this one.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have some very strong opinions. So avoid buyer financing woes. Very frequently, sales either fall through or they get delayed because the buyer can't get financing.
Right.
Either can't get financing or the financing comes in late and pushes the closing back. And you know, I have some strong opinions on this because I see this happen from a couple different areas. First off, the big lenders, I'm just going to say it's a mistake when anybody goes to one of the big lenders out there.
Why is that?
Because people are just a number.
Okay.
It's almost like dealing with the government. The amount of red tape that people have to go through, the top real estate agents in our city will frequently reject a contract from a buyer if their pre-approval letter is from one of the big four lenders that are out there.
Okay.
Certain local banks can be okay that really specialize in doing purchase loans. And that's the big differentiator does the mortgage company that gave the pre-approval letter, when you get that pre-approval letter, do they specialize in purchase loans? And it's not out of line for a seller or the listing agent to call that lender and ask them quite a few questions. I would definitely encourage that. Is you call that lender and ask them, have you seen their income documents yet?
Right. So as a seller, I need to ask that.
Yes. And if you're listing your property with an agent, then have your listing agent ask that question. Is it a true pre-approval or is it just a pre-qualification? Okay, because sometimes people will issue that pre-approval letter without ever seeing income documents. And then once they see them, it's not what the buyer said.
Right. Those are very two different things, pre-qualification and pre-approval.
Right.
We've
covered it quite a few times on the show because a pre-qualification is really just on verbal information over the phone. You probably have pulled their credit, but you may not have seen the income documents. A true pre-approval means you've actually reviewed all of the documents.
So as a buyer, make sure that you get out there and check in with Doug and get pre-approved.
Right. As a buyer, absolutely. And then, you know, like I have certain agents that require every buyer that they work with to come through me to get a pre-approval, even if they don't use me. Even if they're pre-approved somewhere else, they make them come through me. So really just to protect their seller, you know, just to know for a fact that this person is going to go through because they know that if I say that somebody's pre-approved, then they truly are and they're going to close on it. If they don't close, it's not going to be because their loan didn't get approved.
Right. So number two, this doesn't happen a ton, but it has happened. And I did get to experience this with my parents. But prepare to negotiate after a low appraisal. So my parents wrote a contract on a house. They were pre-approved. And the appraisal came back, and it was quite a bit lower. So they would have gone into the purchase if they would have made the difference. So to keep numbers easy, let's say the house was $100,000 and it only appraised for
$95,000,
say. Yeah.
Right.
So my parents would have had to come up with the extra money and would have walked into the deal already not having any equity in the home. So that's not an ideal situation. So, Doug, where does this come up for you?
Well, it doesn't come up very often, but it does come up from time to time, and it's definitely something to be aware of. VA loans, if your mm-hmm. buyer is using a VA loan, then it's a random appraiser that comes out, and those are prone that sometimes they can come in a little bit lower than the purchase price. Mm-hmm. But even on regular appraisals, when you get an inclining market where prices are going up, well, there's somebody that's always selling for a little more than any house has sold for in the area mm-hmm. within the last year. Right. So sometimes the appraisal may not be high enough. So as a lender, we have to use the lower of the sales price or the appraised value.
Got it.
So in essence, in that scenario you said, the $100,000 right. purchase price, right. $95,000 appraisal, now we pretty much treat the $95,000 as a purchase price, and you're borrowing a percentage of that.
Right.
Okay, so say if we then would take, say, 90% of that, if you're doing a 10% down loan, you'd have to have that 10% down plus the $5,000 difference on that appraisal shortage.
Right. Now, as a seller, you can suggest that the buyer get a second appraisal. And sometimes there's negotiations where the seller may even offer to pay for the second appraisal.
Right. But there are going to be a lot of stipulations by the lender on what appraisals are mm-hmm. acceptable.
Right.
So that's something that doesn't come up very often, but when it does, right. you just need to be prepared for it.
So number three is title insurance and what is that? I mean, we have Knox Malis on quite a bit.
From Integrity Title Solutions.
Right, right.
Yeah, so here's where title insurance comes in, is that if there's any, title insurance is there to make sure that the title gets passed from one owner to another cleanly.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there are clouds on title. Let me tell you like a couple of common scenarios that come up is people have been separated from a spouse for the last mm-hmm. 5 years. They haven't even talked to them. Maybe they're in a different state. They kind of forget that, they signed a contract on, to sell their house. They just kind of forget the fact that ex-spouse is still on title. Or maybe it was a previous title company that just didn't pass things along properly.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to make sure that some of those title issues, frequently when they come up, the homeowner should have known about them.
They should have.
And you need to start in advance to get that stuff cleaned up. I've even seen situations where somebody's spouse is in jail.
Yeah.
And they need to try to get a notary to the jail to get things signed in prison.
That's a struggle.
Yeah, that is a struggle. A little crazy.
Right, right. So number four is home inspections. The surprises that you get when you get that report back can be deal breakers for both sides. The buyer is disappointed because there's so many major things. And then there's also, from the seller's perspective, they don't want to fix it. So
right. So home inspections, I'm going to say, is, in my opinion, the most common thing that will kill a transaction.
Mm-hmm.
So as a seller, one thing you can do to prevent it is get a home inspection in advance before you even list your property. And that way you have the ultimate honey-do list that you can use
right.
to go through and preempt what the buyer is going to come up with mm-hmm. by fixing these things in advance, or at least letting them know about it in advance so that they know right up front before they ever write a contract and don't cancel on you once they've actually written a contract and they go through their inspection period.
Right. So quickly, number four, watch for signs of buyer's remorse. Now, that one's tricky.
Right. Number five, actually.
Oh, yes, five. Yes. Yeah. So sorry about that.
Yeah. Watch for signs of buyer remorse. And, so if you get somebody that's starting to waffle, and people will use the home inspection is what they'll use to create the buyer's remorse in many cases.
Mm-hmm.
So watch for that and make sure that you cater to those people a little bit. Try to find buyers that are very enthusiastic to buy the
mm-hmm.
house
mm-hmm.
and are motivated to actually buy.
Right.
You find people that really, really want to buy and need to buy.
Right.
And they're not going to get buyer's remorse.
Right, right. So number six, don't hinge a deal on a buyer's home sale. This one happens quite a bit.
Yes, it does. And that's a tough thing to say, because if you have a buyer for your house that it wants to write a contingent contract, and there's two major types that I see here. So one is their house isn't even under contract yet. Okay, I want to put your house under contract, and I'm going to have to sell mine, and I'm just now putting it on the market. Okay, well, be very careful accepting those. Usually that they would accept a contingency with a kick-out clause, meaning that, okay, I'm going to keep my house in the market if I accept your contract, and if I get a better buyer, then I'm going to give you, a couple days to be able to get rid of your contingency. So that's one thing you can do. The other thing is, if the buyer is buying your property and they have to sell theirs first, and maybe it is under contract, well, what if they don't close on their loan? Or what if their sale doesn't go through on their property? They can't buy yours.
Right.
So if you're faced with a couple different offers, try to take the one that doesn't have to count on that scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Might be worth taking even a little bit less money for somebody who doesn't have to have that scenario. If somebody will write a cash offer where they don't have a financing contingency, that's great, although you need to check in and make sure that they actually have the cash. Ask for proof of funds on that one.
Oh, that's a good point.
Very, very important mm-hmm. one. So, Tammy, those are all the things that, you know, the major things that we see cause a home sale to fall through. And we're going to list these on our website, too, at DougHaldeman.com. You can look for the six reasons home sales fall through and how to prevent them. You can download this list to make sure you don't fall into that trap. And if you want to reach out to us, you can find that list at DougHaldeman.com. And then if you want to reach out with questions about that, if you're in that situation, you can text or call us at 314-472-DOUG. Again, that's 314-472-DOUG, D-O-U-G, which is 3684. So I'll ask a question now. Why are so many renters not buying right now? Well, coming up, we'll be speaking with Tom Ward, the creator of Path to Buy Homeownership Coaching Program, which turned renters into buyers. You'll listen to the Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.